Are you more like Jairus, the synagogue official, who's in a hurry to get Jesus to his daughter and get her healed? Or are you approaching Jesus with this idea of, if I can just touch you, I can have everything satisfied? It's an interesting contrast in the gospel tonight, because it's one of expediency and another one of wait. Because Jesus is teaching and the official comes and says, she's just about to die. I need you to heal her. Now come right now. She's about to die. Come right now. So they all go. Everyone wants to see. They're all going. People are crowding and pressing. Jesus is going along. And this woman who had lost everything she had this issue of bleeding for 12 years. No doctor could cure her. No doctor even helped her. And she said, if I can just touch the cloak, I know I can't talk to him or whatever. If I can just touch his cloak, I believe. And she does, and Jesus stops. Who touched me? And the disciples are like, what do you mean, who touched you? I mean, there's about 100 people who just touched you. But Jesus knows who touched him, but he's trying to draw the faith out of this individual. In other words, God did something for you, you can't hide it. Because we as Catholics too often, we just want to, I mean, good for you for being at Mass tonight. Good for you for coming to a hot chapel. But we just want to come and we want it to be over with. We don't want to have to be bothered with anything that might challenge us for the most part. Oh, we went to Mass. That's good. That's done. Let's get on with our week. And so in this way, it's like Jesus says, no, if I'm going to do something for you, you're going to have to acknowledge it. You're going to have faith. And for this woman, her life was ever changed. She would never be the same. In the same way, Jesus on this journey says, we have time to wait. We have time to take care of this person. How often do we get in a hurry with our spiritual lives? Get through the prayers, get through the Mass, let's go, let's go, let's go. And then when something happens to slow it down or to redirect, we're like, well, no, this is a pain. We want to go over here, not over there. But the Lord reminds us he's in control. We're not in control. You are not in control of your spiritual life, no matter how hard you try. The Lord is in control. And the Lord leads. And oftentimes the path that we follow Jesus on, he'll tell us to stop because he has something else he wants us to do. He'll redirect till we get back to a point. And ultimately, this gospel is kind of the story of life, the spiritual life. There's faith that starts off, Lord, please come, lay your hands. It starts with baptism for us. And then we make this journey. And then all of a sudden, something happens on the journey where we're like, why is this happening? Why is this stopping? And we have to redirect. And then ultimately, you get there and you're like, well, it's too late, Jesus. If you not stopped for that woman, you could have gotten here. It's too late. Why even bother? And we've got to hear the Lord's words. Do not be afraid. Just have faith. Because if you don't want to be bothered in your spiritual life, it's because you're afraid. You're afraid it's going to cost you something to really follow Jesus Christ. And you don't want to have to do that. I go through that myself. I don't want to have to be bothered sometimes to serve the Lord. But he tells us, have faith. And so when that journey begins to take another path and we're like, where is this going to lead? She's already dead. Jesus does something amazing. He raises her. And there's all this commotion. All the mourners have already gathered, as they would in Jewish custom. He raises her from the dead. In other words, he's already demonstrating that he is the conqueror of death. And so that leads to the last four things that is good for us to consider. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. The last four things in our faith. And of course, the first is death. I love St. Alphonsus Liguori. And whenever he would write spiritually, he would have a human skull on his desk. It was a real one, too. They didn't have the fake ones back then. So it would remind him that death will call. And he had to make the most of every moment. Because too often, we just want to ignore death. But it's a reality. It's the first of the final things. Do you remember what it was like when you first encountered death of a loved one? That it really, really impacted you. Like your life would never be the same because of it. I can remember when I was about, 8 years old, and my great-grandmother died. And I knew my great-grandmother pretty well. And I remember the first time I'd ever seen a deceased body. At her funeral, there was a visitation. I remember my cousin also experiencing death for the first time, going up to the body of my great-grandmother and starting to do this with her finger and announcing to everyone, "She's like dough." I was like, well, that was a little inappropriate, but anyway, it impacted me. Between tears and wondering, how is this? And then, of course, we go through life always experiencing death. And the writer of Wisdom says, God did not make death, but it is a reality. He does not rejoice in death. It is a result of the envy of the devil. It is because of our fall that death is a reality. But Jesus conquers death. That's why it makes a difference for us as Christians. So when we die, we'll stand before the Lord. And it's a reminder in the Book of Wisdom that God created us, it says, in his image, which means that we live forever, or that we exist forever. Our souls aren't snuffed out. We exist forever. That's what it is to live to have part of the image of God. But we also were created in his likeness, which means we weren't designed to sin. But the devil tempted and we fell. And now we're in this process of following Jesus so that he can raise us. And sometimes on that journey, there's twists and turns. Sometimes there's a stop. Sometimes the Lord deals with someone else or calls us to go deal with someone else. But ultimately, we should not be afraid of death, but we have to have faith. Now, if we have faith, we'll live like we have faith. And this is the last thing I have for you. Faith, we're told by St. James, faith without works is dead. What does he mean? Is it the works themselves? No. But if you have faith, you will live and act like you have faith. Far, far too many people who claim to be these great people of faith, particularly at funerals these days. But really, the reality is they didn't practice their faith, or very marginally did. There was no real discipleship of Jesus Christ in their life. They squandered opportunities Sunday after Sunday, Christmas after Christmas, Easter after Easter, the Sacrament of Reconciliation, all squandered. Brothers and sisters, we need to live like we have faith every day of our lives. Let us metaphorically, as St. Alphonsus did, put that skull in front of us and remember, we're going there. We don't know exactly how we're going to get there, but when we arrive, here's the good news. Jesus has promised eternal life for those who will believe. And if we believe, let us act like we believe. Let us practice our faith. Following Jesus is not easy, but, and it's also not predictable, but it is worth it. Because he restores us to how God the Father made us. He gives us that image fully back and makes it clear. And then we return to his likeness. It's a great gift we have. So let us pray for the grace to be disciples and live like disciples every day of our lives.